I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm terrific.
Oh, that's good for this a Monday.
Yeah, it's good for a Monday. And this weather, it was beautiful today. It was like mid-60s, sunny.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not bad for the end of October.
No, not bad at all.
Wow. We're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's... But, you know, I did... So last Saturday, I did put the old boat to sleep for the winter.
Oh.
It was kind of depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Winterized the engine, washed out her bilge, put her away, but that's okay. She'll be ready come spring.
All that means is that we're inching closer to your favorite time of the year.
We are, and I actually I bought a new Christmas, I guess, do we call them albums if you get them as an MP3? I don't know. A new Christmas thing that I was listening to Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I had the sunroof open and I was listening to Christmas music.
Only you.
I won't do it nonstop until then, but you know what? It is like 2 months away.
It's less than 2 months away.
It's less than 2 months away. So we probably should be giving like so many shopping days till Christmas, but now we'll wait. But it is. We are getting close to the most wonderful time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice thought to think, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Which is what we're talking about today. It's time to think.
Mm-hmm.
So how much thought do you give to thinking?
I am sad to say not as much as I'd like.
Right.
I put a lot of thought into other things. It's not that I'm not thinking, but I have not been the most intentional about thinking itself.
And, you know, people are going to think that we're talking in riddles, but we're not.
Right.
We, you know, my post that came out this morning said it's time to think.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in, you used to, I had said in my post, you know, a very fast paced, filled with data. I forgot how I worded it, but you said a very loud world.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking is so critical. And yet we have so little time to do it. And what, you know, our devices literally map every site that we look at, every ad. I'm shocked at how I can look at something on let's say a Safari search for something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day or later that day, I open up Instagram and there's an ad for what I was looking for. So they're literally mapping every single thing we look at.
Mm-hmm.
So that the next morning, it's all loaded up. And as soon as you open up your device, you're bombarded with more information. And then we start thinking about what other people think we should think about rather than what we should think about. So in my post, I just asked the question, you know, are we setting aside time to think? Because the reality is that successful people think differently. And those that are the most successful, and when I say successful, I'm not passing a judgment on what that is. People that achieve the things that are important to them do so by thinking about it and structuring their life based on what matters to them. Now, you know, our listeners know that we went through the growth plan. I think it was 4 or 5 weeks. We talked about growth and you know, we're getting ready to roll that out to our members. And part of that is spending time thinking about what really matters to you. And if you don't spend that time, you're not going to achieve anything of meaning to you. So one of the notes I put in here was, do you set aside time to think, and do you have a thinking place? And that's kind of a hard thing for folks to grasp. But you actually told me that you do have a thinking chair.
I do. I have the place. I just need to use it.
Okay, so you have the place. You just need the time, right?
Yep.
So describe for us your place.
So I have this chair that I saw online a long time ago, and I really liked it. And it was interesting because it didn't necessarily fit in the room that I have it in. But I just loved it so much. It's kind of got this like cocoon feel to it. So I feel like it has this almost like protective layer where I can just go. And if I actually did this, I'd be able to think and just feel really cozy. And I didn't buy it for a long time. And I told Derek about it. And then I noticed one day it was on sale. The Target algorithm must have known that I had been looking at it and sent me one of those friendly emails, like, something you've looked at is on sale. And it truly was. And Derek's like, just get it. Just get the chair. So I got the chair and I love it. It is so great. And it is truly very cozy and would make a very great thinking chair. The few times that I have used it, it has been wonderful. I try not to bring, like, my phone into the the chair with me. It's kind of like I can read there or just sit with a pen and paper. And I love it. It's like my little, and it's kind of out of the way. So it's not near where the girls play with their toys.
Okay.
It's in our more like formal living room.
Awesome.
And it's just kind of like my, it's like my little oasis. I believe that's what I call it.
And perfect.
And Isla knows that if she wants to sit in it, she has to ask me first.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So that's a great start. So now really all that you would need to do is find the ability to lock out time, which as a young mom with two young daughters is, well, sleep is kind of important too. So you really don't have any time for that. But like you even said by your own admission that you just need to find a way to discipline yourself to do
it. Right. I have no excuses. I know what I need to do. I need to wake up earlier before my kids wake up.
Yep.
And take that time for myself. I felt like your email was almost like targeted at me. Like maybe you were going through my search history, how to wake up earlier.
Well, and this probably came completely out of left field because I think last week I had no idea what we were going to talk about. Yeah. So, you know, for me, I do have, so I have one of those, it's a brand, a stressless chair. And I have that up in our family room, and it's right next to our wood stove. And our family room has a big kind of arched window that faces east. So in the morning, the sun just kind of, it's a very bright room. That really is the, and so what I do in the morning is I get up before the rest of the family. And that is just, that's my, I guess we could call it my thinking chair. It's where I have my morning devotions and my meditation time. And it's where I start really in more detail thinking about my day. The problem that I have is that because it is in the center of activity for the house, if there's anybody else that's up, it totally blows the ability to be able to think there. And especially if my grandkids come over or something. Now, I do have an office at home and have a very comfortable recliner in my office, but my office has like one window. It's in the basement. It has one window that looks outside, and it's a decent sized window, but
it's not very inspiring.
It's not inspiring exactly. You know, if I could somehow construct this into making me think that I'm on a lake somewhere in a boat, now then I could really think. But the point that we're trying to make here is that we just, all of us need to find that place where we can think and relax enough to open up our creativity and our thought process. And so If we're gonna think, we have to make sure that we do something with the thoughts. And I've often said this in my trainings, you know. So when you're in the shower in the morning, how many of you have great ideas and, you know, about things just flood into your mind? And all of us raise our hands because there's nothing else to do in there but think. I mean, we're washing ourselves by routine and habit. We have to get our brains to a point where we can almost do that in our thinking chair.
There's very little distraction, and that's what we need to replicate.
Exactly. We need to find a...
And I don't think it has to be like super fancy either.
No.
I remember, I don't work in the office anymore, but when I did work in the office, if I had to do some creative thinking or some problem solving and I wasn't feeling particularly inspired at my desk, I would leave my computer chair, and I had, you know, chairs on the other side of my desk. So if someone came into my office, that's where they would sit. And I would sit on the other side of my desk.
Interesting.
And then I couldn't, you know, I couldn't look at my computer or see my emails, and I would have a different perspective, right? So I'd be seeing my office from a different point of view. Things would look different, and then I could think more creatively and think differently. So it's not like you have to go out and buy some kind of chair or have some kind of meditation room.
Right.
It's really just like a place where you feel inspired and ideally would have some privacy or some quiet, at least for some portion of the day, right?
Sure.
That's what we're saying.
I love that you just changed chairs and changed perspective again, getting back to a post a couple weeks back. That's really cool. I should try that because I've got that little table in my office. I could just take one of those chairs and stare out the window.
Mm-hmm. That'd be
nice. It might work. Mm-hmm. It'd be better if there was a lake. Oh, we won't go down that road again. Okay. David, stop thinking about lakes and boats. All right. So now you've got a place, you're thinking, we've got our spot where we can think. You need to collect your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You have to write them down. Yeah, you know, I'm sure there are people trying to figure out how to put, you know, whiteboards in showers or something. I don't know. But does anybody have anything like that?
Oh, I'm sure.
They'd have to, because you have great ideas in the shower. But thinking and you're thinking, so it can be, now we talked last week about pen and paper and the benefit of that, but you need to find a place to collect your thoughts. So do you have a, like when you have a thought, do you have a place where you collect them?
I don't have a good system, no. Okay. I think I would be more inclined to take the pen and paper route. Just because it would be non-distracting from a sense of technology.
Okay, good.
I do have like a notebook. It's funny. I actually recently, I'm working on a system. I recently got like a 5-subject notebook so I could kind of divide out like my work stuff, my like Isla's school related things. I'm a room parent. I volunteer at school, like that kind of stuff. I think I've mentioned that I am on the Young Professionals Board at the Diaper Bank, organizing that stuff. So kind of like a way to, instead of just keeping one notebook with all my thoughts, like separating them out.
Sure.
So that would probably be what I would do since that is something I'm working on organizing.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I do is, because I never know where I'm going to be or what I'm doing. So I do have, I use Evernote so that even if I just have my phone, I can put a thought in it. And what I like about that is even if I'm driving, I can dictate a note to myself. You know, whereas I would have trouble scribbling on a notepad, and I do spend a significant amount of time in my car. But then what I do is I review those notes so that I can then write them into a summary type of thing. So if you think about it this way, that I'm these are just thoughts that would come during the day, let's say. You know, I'm putting those thoughts in the app. And then at the end of the week, I'm looking at what were my thoughts that I had each day, and are any of these worth working on further? So let's talk about that a little bit. So, you know, just writing them down is only half the battle. And John Maxwell, in his book, No Limits, spent a whole chapter on expanding your thinking process. And one of the things that he said was, you know, he's, first of all, you have to have a great system for writing your thoughts down. But then he said, practice your thought. Take your thought for a walk, or your thinking for a walk. And what he's saying is just kind of work that over a little bit. You know, as you're going through the day, kind of chew on it and see if this is really as good as you thought it was. The next point he says is question it. So what about my thought is missing? Is there something different that needs to be implemented in it or put in it to kind of tweak it? And then he said, when you get to that point, then you really have to embrace it. You have to own the thought. So we're really talking about thoughts that might be impactful for our work or for our family or, you know, for our community, wherever it is we're interacting. And then he said, then you launch it. You know, you begin to implement it. You're practicing it. He has another phrase, landing your thought. And then he talks about upgrading your thought. So this is an area where we're actually letting that thought mature. And the one thing that I think is really important about this whole concept of thoughts is that they are not excellent thoughts if you're the only one thinking about them. Because they need to be developed. And so at some point, you need to share your thoughts with people. So you have an idea, okay, can I just talk this over with you? And I'm hoping that all of us can have people that we can just talk ideas over with, talk thoughts over with. You know, I have a lot of great ideas that are only great until I share them with somebody, and then I realize that wasn't that good of an idea. But a version of that idea might be a great idea. So that's the part where you really have to be willing to share your thoughts with people and then, you know, help them help you develop it. There was some simple little statements. Everything begins with a thought. And that's a really profound statement. Everything that we see, that we've created, that anybody's created here on Earth began with a thought. So are we selling our thinking short?
Mm-hmm.
There was another quote that I liked here. What we think determines who we are. Who we are determines what we do. Wow, that's kind of deep too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it really means we're living out our thoughts, even if we're not even intentional about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we allow ourselves to have really self-limiting thoughts, self-limiting beliefs that ruminate in our minds, we're just going to live that out. Our thoughts determine our destiny. Our destiny determines our legacy. And I just thought, wow, those are just some really, really important things to ponder, to think about. I know we're overusing the word think, but this thinking piece is huge. It literally controls our life. Are we? And I know I don't give it enough. I don't give it enough focus, enough attention, because too often I'm rushing here and there. You and I talked a little bit before we started recording, and you know, one of the things that I struggle with is not putting enough margin in my life to be able to think. So I get so stressed because I've packed things in too tightly. And I need to reflect enough to say, stop, just stop, take some time and think.
And I think sometimes we get into those modes where it's just about like getting the things done that we said we were going to do or that were on our calendar, that we're almost right. Like mindlessly walking through life. And the yep. reason I know that from a very simple example, like I go to Wegmans every weekend and it's almost gotten so mindless that like, if it's not on my list, it's almost like I can't see it. So where some people who are maybe not going through life or going through Wegmans as mindlessly as I am, like you'd see things and think like, oh, actually like that's not on my list, but I do need it. Or that might be a nice accompaniment to my apple pie.
Sure.
That's regarding the ice cream I forgot to buy for my husband.
You know what? I was going to say, are we getting some ice cream for that apple pie?
No, because I forgot it at Wegmans because it wasn't on the list. And I've gone on autopilot. So this long analogy about Wegmans is basically just going to say that we've put so many things on autopilot in our lives that we are missing things that are right in front of us
and exactly.
potentially making things harder when we think we're making them easier because we're
right
on autopilot. Some things are certainly easier that way, but we might be making other things more difficult or putting on these blinders because we're just so focused on getting through what we know we need to do.
Sure. Sure.
Or what we think we need to do.
That was a great point. But I was going to tell you, if you tell me when the pie's done, I'll come over with the ice cream.
Oh, the pie is done and about 80% eaten. So.
Oh, all right. Well, it's too late to bring the ice cream. Okay.
Next time.
Maybe next time. Next time, yeah. But that's a great point. You know, how often do we just, we're just on like an autopilot of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're missing, and so what happens is we're living Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
We're not making it better for the next day. And I was thinking about something on my way home from work today. While I was listening to my new Christmas CD again. It's just really good. It's the Collingsworth Family Christmas, and it's an amazing Christmas album. But I was thinking about a specific relationship and how do you take a relationship to the next level? And you begin to think of it at a different level. So if we're talking about a relationship and we're thinking about that relationship at a different level, we begin to live out the relationship at the level we're thinking at.
Mm-hmm.
If we're living out the relationship at the level we're thinking at, after a while, that's the level that relationship is at. So it can be either a higher level or a lower level. I didn't say it was a good, right. In my case, I was thinking about taking, you know, raising a relationship to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
But we also can fall prey to lowering the level, the quality of a relationship by thinking at it at a lower level. So this, again, this, are we really thinking through our life or are we just going through the motion? And that's the power of the thought.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the amazing creativity that's there if we would just simply think.
Mm-hmm.
Did I beat this one to death?
No. And I think I want to add to that, that I think that's why sometimes we struggle with problem solving and troubleshooting. Is because if it's not like right in front of us and it's not one of those like motions that we're going through regularly as we're living Groundhog Day, it's like it's almost too difficult to even wrap our heads around.
Right.
And so
very, very good.
I've noticed that, you know, if I just set aside some time to dedicate some thought directly to the problem I'm having or whatever I'm trying to troubleshoot, that the answer is more often than not actually not that complex and
right.
not that difficult. It's just that it needed that devoted attention.
Exactly. It was probably right in front of you. You mm-hmm. just couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did have a couple questions that I wrote down here that I didn't think to ask, you know. Who are the people you bring to the table to improve your ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have that inner circle that we can bring around the table to say, hey, I had this idea, what do you think?
Right.
You know, when I think about, you know, how do I communicate something? How do I market something? How do I write something? I think of you.
Mm-hmm.
Marissa, what do you think of this? Does this make sense? And what I like is that you'll say, no, don't go there. Don't do that. That's dumb. You know, and then I say how, you know, so the first question was, who do I bring? The second one was, how well are they helping you? And what can you change to get them to help you more? Well, maybe we're asking people for their thoughts about our thoughts or our ideas, but we really don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that's me too. The next point that I made in here, do you have a greater bias toward action or toward thinking? Some of us have a bias toward acting. Some, I can't get them to act, period. They're like thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's and you just feel like, say, do something already. But the reality is, imagine if we could harness both.
Right.
And really bring together all of our creativity with perhaps a bias to act.
Mm-hmm.
We could come up with some pretty amazing things. And, you know, getting back to where we talked about on the growth plan thing, if we really have thought through what we want, what is of value to us, and we can visualize that, it makes it so much easier to achieve it. Because the resources are there, we just haven't thought it through enough to be able to recognize them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, that's a whole other podcast that we've touched on in a couple of them in the past. You know, how do you really do that and get the biggest impact from it? So I have a challenge for you.
Ooh, okay.
So think about when you could or how you could schedule twice a week to do some thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I will challenge myself to build margin into my calendar.
Okay.
How's that? So we challenge each other. Yeah, does it make sense to you?
Let's do
it. Okay. Now we can't say we're going to talk about it when we record our next podcast because it's in 2 days. Well, I guess we could, couldn't we?
We could.
We could do, because all we have to do is schedule it, not live it out yet, right?
Well, I think I kind of have to live it out because for me, I know, I just have to wake up at like 5 a.m.
Ooh.
And the scheduling is easy. The follow through is the difficult part.
Okay. All right, so two podcasts from now, remind me that we have to do a check-in.
Okay.
And see how we're doing.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah. Okay, I like that.
It's a good start.
We can have our listeners hold us accountable. It's like when I told a class one time that I wanted them to hold me accountable for choosing my attitude every day, and that was last January, and they didn't. I said, please do it in a week. Well, they did it the next day, so pretty much every day since then, I've done it.
Yeah.
That's what accountability does for you.
I need someone to like shake me awake at 5 a.m.
Shake you awake. Well, I'm not going to call you at 5 a.m.
I don't think it would work. That's the sad part.
Because
I'd sleep right through it. But well, now I am starting to get more sleep because the baby is back on track with her sleep. So
good.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it two times this.
Good.
This week.
Super. And I'm going to build in at least two significant amounts of margin time in my calendar.
Great.
And we'll check in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So do you want to know what we're talking about next week?
Do you already know?
I do.
Then yes.
The forgotten. Ooh. We'll just leave it at that.
All right.
The forgotten. We'll hold people on the edge of their seat for a week. All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful evening, because right now probably you need to go back to your family.
Dinner time. Dinner time. Dinner time awaits.
All right. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.